Chapter 165. Pants, breaking off and looking round, acquainted with the English grammar? Apostrophe apostrophe, bleeding heart yard was shy of claiming that acquaintance. It's no matter, apostrophe said Mr. Pants, I merely wish to remark that the task this proprietor has set me has been never to leave off conjugating the imperative mood present tense of the verb, to keep always at it. Keep thou always at it. Let him keep always at it. Keep we or do we keep always at it. Keep ye or do ye or you keep always at it. Let them keep always at it. Here is your benevolent patriarch of a Casby, and there is his golden rule. He is uncommonly improving to look at, and I am not at all so. He is as sweet as honey, and I am as dull as ditch water. He provides the pitch, and I handle it, and it sticks to me. Now, apostrophe said Mr. Pants, closing upon his late proprietor again, from whom he had withdrawn a little for the better display of him to the yard. As I am not accustomed to speak in public, and as I have made a rather lengthy speech, all circumstances considered, I shall bring my observations to a close by requesting you to get out of this. Apostrophe, the last of the patriarchs, had been so seized by assault, and required so much room to catch an idea in, and so much more room to turn it in, that he had not a word to offer in reply. He appeared to be meditating some patriarchal way out of his delicate position, when Mr. Pants, once more suddenly applying the trigger to his hat, shot it off again with his former dexterity. On the preceding occasion, one or two of the bleeding heart yarders had obsequiously picked it up and handed it to its owner, but Mr. Pants had now so far impressed his audience that the patriarch had to turn and stoop for it himself. Quick as lightning, Mr. Pants, who, for some moments, had had his right hand in his coat pocket, whipped out a pair of shears, swooped upon the patriarch behind, and snipped off short the sacred locks that flowed upon his shoulders. In a paroxysm of animosity and rapidity, Mr. Pants then caught the broad-brimmed hat out of the astounded patriarch's hand, cut it down into a mere stewpan, and fixed it on the patriarch's head. Before the frightful results of this desperate action, Mr. Pants himself recoiled in consternation. A bare-poled, goggle-eyed, big-headed lumbering personage stood staring at him, not in the least impressive, not in the least venerable, who seemed to have started out of the earth, to ask what was become of Casby. After staring at this phantom in return, in silent awe, Mr. Pants threw down his shears, and fled for a place of hiding, where he might lie sheltered from the consequences of his crime. Mr. Pants deemed it prudent to use all possible dispatch in making off, though he was pursued by nothing but the sound of laughter in Bleeding Heart Yard, rippling through the air and making it ring again. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.